Good morning. It's good to be worshiping Jesus together this morning. And Kent and Eunice, it's great to hear. Where did he go? Again, it's good to hear what's happening at camp. I love what you guys are doing. It was about a week and a half ago, Galen asked me to preach for him this morning, and it was before the last week and a half, actually, the incidents that happened this past week and a half, and so as I was thinking about preparing for this morning, my mind went a lot of places with a lot of the loss we've been experiencing here, death and disease. Losses that impact us personally. Maybe it's a loss that no one can see. There's a lot of loss here, just for the Owilers, the Miller family, the Byler family, and those who are close to James and Rose Mast. And now just hearing Matt's journey this morning, Ellen's journey, a lot of stuff that kind of leaves us stunned a bit and leaves us with questions. And sometimes in loss, our conclusions are really defining for us. Sometimes it shatters our world, where a normal life just stops for a time. So I just want to name that this morning, that you guys have been in our thoughts and prayers a lot this week. And so my mind has been drawn to just look at some things out of the history of Israel and the time of Isaiah. And Isaiah was prophesying just, do I need to adjust something here? Good, okay. Isaiah was prophesying during the time that was just leading up to the captivity. And I'd like to jump into Isaiah. In Isaiah 40, and what's amazing to me when I look at some of these prophecies in Isaiah, and so Isaiah is talking about a time over 100 years ahead. So he's writing, so that Israel wasn't even in captivity yet. That 70-year period hadn't even happened. And Isaiah's writing about a time when the return is going to happen. So they haven't even experienced captivity. And he's writing before the destruction of Jerusalem. And captivity was a very dark time in that nation's history. There was a lot of loss. And I'm sure that many of the people at that time saw the writing on the wall. And if you want to compare it, I think of like World War II, where Nazi Germany's attempt to annihilate the Jews. That's what Babylon came in, destroyed the city, took all the people. So they, in the captivity, there was no citizenship, no nation. A lot of them were slaves. And a lot of the people would have been asking, like, where's God? What is he up to? And some believed that God had died. This is supposed to be God, we're supposed to be your people. What is this all about? So if you have this writing and you were a Jewish man or woman, maybe toward the end of this captivity, 70-year period, and you would be thinking about your history, all the loss and all the destruction. You'd be thinking, what is this man drinking? Like, what is this guy on that he's saying this stuff? What's wrong with him? What's he imagining? Everything's so desolate. It's not even physically safe to travel. They were foreigners everywhere. No protection, no citizenship. Their city was wrecked. The walls were down. There's no leadership. And here's Isaiah looking 100 years ahead, saying this by the Spirit. And he's asking a bunch of questions to his brothers and his sisters, and saying the things in the middle of a bad time. And I think even as we look at Isaiah 40, it's looking ahead to Jesus as well. And so I'd like to read Isaiah 40. I think I'm going to take the time to read it. And I'm hoping we can end a little early this morning because of the funeral this afternoon. Isaiah is speaking about the character of God and who he is, the power of his love for his people. Isaiah 40, I'm going to read in the New Living Translation. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tell her that her sad days are gone and that her sins are pardoned. So God is saying this because they needed comfort. Yes, the Lord has punished her in full for all her sins. Listen, I hear the voice of someone shouting. You can just kind of picture that. Someone shouting, making a lot of noise. Make a highway for the Lord through the wilderness. Make a straight, smooth road through the desert for our God. Fill the valleys, level the hills, straighten out the curves. Smooth out the rough spots. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all people will see it together. The Lord has spoken. A voice said, shout. And I said, I asked, well, what should I shout? Shout that people are like grass that dies away. Their beauty fades as quickly as the beauty of the flowers in a field. The grass withers and the flowers fade beneath the breath of the Lord. And so it is with people. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Messenger of good news, shout to Zion from the mountaintops. Picture someone on a big mountain. Shout louder to Jerusalem. Don't be afraid. Tell the towns of Judah, your God is coming. Yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in all his glorious power. He will rule with awesome strength. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. This is the heart of God. This is the character of God as he's comforting. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. Who else has held the oceans in his hands? Who's measured off the heavens with his fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth or has weighed out the mountains and the hills? Who's able to advise the Spirit of the Lord? Who knows enough to be his teacher or counselor? Has the Lord ever needed anyone's advice? Does he need instruction about what is good or what is best? No. For all the nations of the world are nothing in comparison with him. Think about the context that this would be spoken in. All the nations, they're but a drop in the bucket. Israel is pretty small. Dust on the scales. He picks up the islands as though they have no weight. All Lebanon's forests do not contain sufficient fuel to consume a sacrifice large enough to honor him. All Lebanon's sacrificial animals would not make an offering worthy of our God. The nations of the world are as nothing to him. In his eyes they are less than nothing, mere emptiness and froth. To whom then can we compare God? What image might we find to resemble him? Can he be compared to an idol formed in a mold, overlaid with gold, and decorated with silver chains? Or is a poor person's wooden idol better? Can God be compared to an idol that must be placed on a stand so it won't fall down? Have you never heard or understood? Are you deaf to the words of God, the words he gave before the world began? Are you so ignorant? It is God who sits above the circle of the earth. The people below must seem to him like grasshoppers. He's the one who spreads out the heavens like a curtain and makes its tent from them. He judges the great people of the world and brings them all to nothing. They hardly get started, barely taking a root when he blows in them and their work withers. The wind carries them off like straw. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Asks the Holy One. Look up into the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out one after another, calling each by its name. And he counts them to see that none are lost or have strayed away. O Israel, how can you say the Lord doesn't see your troubles? How can you say that God refuses to hear your case? Have you never heard or understood? Don't you know that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth? He never grows faint or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to those who are tired and worn out. He offers strength to the weak. Even youths will become exhausted, and young men will give up. But those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. They will fly high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. I think Isaiah is saying to the people ahead of time, believe apart from your experience now. Trust in God's goodness. A love. Trust in God's goodness and love, even when it seems far away. Know what he's like. And allow that knowing to color the lens that you look through. Sometimes we make conclusions about God based on how we're feeling in the moment. What we feel and think and believe. I'd like to just, I took the liberty and I just went through Isaiah 40 and kind of tried to paraphrase it in my own words for our time. I'm just going to read that. It almost seems like in the beginning of the chapter that God is speaking to himself. Who else is there? It says, talks about comfort. Something about God really longs to comfort his people, longs to comfort us. It's part of his character. And in that comfort, he's speaking with tenderness and care and compassion. He's talking about the sadness and sin that will be gone. And he's God is making a highway for himself to return with his people. And that return, it fills and it straightens and it smooths and it levels. And if a person is looking, everyone gets to see it, according to Isaiah. And God wants to make a lot of noise about who he is. People are pretty small. Their greatness and their strength and their beauty is pretty fragile next to and in comparison with who God is. And Isaiah says, make a loud noise. Don't be scared to say everywhere that your God is coming. Here's what he's like. He's incredible power, amazing strength. And this is what touched me as I was reading this, thinking about where some of you have been these past weeks. He comes with a great blessing. And then he says, award. But then he says, he will feed, he will carry, he will hold, and he will gently lead. That's the award or the blessing that he comes with. That's God's heart. And God's greatness, he holds and he measures and he knows his creation. And as a counselor, this jumped out to me. He doesn't ever need counseling. And isn't that a relief? It's awesome. Doesn't need teaching on anything. All the people in the nations don't amount to much beside God. Forget about bringing a sacrifice that's big enough for him. Nothing can be made or imagined that's comparable to what God is like. And then Isaiah is like, don't you get it, people? It's God himself who makes his place above our world, above our experiences, our fears. People probably seem pretty small to him. And he does what he wills with his creation. He judges the arrogant and deals with their work. What do you think God is like? Who's next to him? And this is another piece that jumps out to me about God's heart towards us. Look at his created sky. See how personally he's involved with it. He says he has a name for all the stars. And he knows when one isn't doing well. I think that's probably true of us. If he cares about the stars like that, he cares about us. And then this, get a grip, people. The Lord sees your trouble. He knows your situation. This great God, creator, sustainer of everything over all time, he never gets whooped, never gets tired. No one knows the extent of his thoughts. This is God's heart for you. He gives power to the wore out ones. He gives out strength to those who don't have much. Young people can sometimes get tired and feel like quitting. But make note of this. Those people who wait, listening, attending, making space for God, their lives will find a new, amazing strength. They will fly and they'll run and they'll walk. This is God's heart as we wait on him. This is what God is like. Sometimes in a hard time, it's easy to believe the worst about who God is. It's easy for me. And I was thinking about different losses. Some of my journey during times of disappointment and loss. I don't know about you guys, but I get pretty angry sometimes. Just angry at life. Sometimes I distance myself from who God is, from God, just avoid it. Avoid being honest with him about how I'm feeling. But I really believe part of our worship is to start allowing ourselves to name our fears, to name our rage, to trust God with our insides. And I think sometimes questions in loss is an act of worship. It's okay to name them. It's okay to allow his comfort when we don't understand. God's character gives permission to both struggle with and to receive comfort from him. It's an ongoing life journey. As we wait on the Lord, he renews us, comforts us. Know that he's personally with us now, even though he's much greater than the present. And I asked James and Carla to sing a song here at the end. I believe that the power of God's love in our lives, who he is, moves us to see differently. When you think about Isaiah and the Jewish people, it was a comfort long time ago to a Jewish man and woman who would have read this. It can be a comfort in our time now. The power of God's love. Let's just pray, and I'd like James and Carla to come and sing. Power of your love. Lord, thank you for your word this morning. Our hearts are heavy with what we've experienced this recently. And to want to lean into your love this morning with our questions, with our losses, knowing that you are who you said you are, even when we don't understand. And so I ask that you'd be with us as we go today. In Jesus' name, amen.